like I'm selfish. Made this my hell and it's hellish. Stuck down at the bottom with the shellfish. Got this demon that they ain't dealt with. Can't nobody tell me shit for myself like I'm selfish. Made this hell and it's hellish. Stuck at the bottom with the shellfish. Got this demon they ain't dealt with. Can't nobody tell me shit.
Trapped in this hellscape. System far from failsafe. Born to sell my soul, but wasn't sold by the cell. They've been trying to tell us since we's born that we was worthless. Set up purgatory, punching clock performance was our purpose. I ain't down to fall for that. My people all across the map, a working class revolution. Only way we solve all that. Fast forward, never got the dignity we asked for. So the only war I'm willing to die in is the class war. Solidarity has become such a rarity. Open up your eyes and see this world with some clarity. You do all the work, so how could they ever give you charity? And I die satisfied if this hell is where they bury me.
If they say
I support it, I will twist in my brain. I will plant this tree, even if I never sit in the shade. I can never be a puppet. My belief is all or nothing, so that means
that's what I would sound like. No, continue.
Oh, if I just got like way overly excited, like, what up, bitches? Just like,
yo. There you go.
Welcome to Leftover Ramen, the low class weeb trash podcast. My name is Ishida. It's not pronounced Ishwanda, but every time I've watched a review of something I've put out, that's how people have said it. But, you know, whatever. You can call me that if you want. I am here with Ethereal. My co-host.
How's it going, folks?
And we are doing the second half of the political compass test. We just spent probably at least 10 minutes like re-answering the questions we did before. I couldn't remember any of my answers. I think Ethereal remembered most of his, but
I think we were very optimistic to assume that we could just pick it up from where we left off. Yeah. I don't know who out there is able to keep one specific tab open for 2 weeks. But if you can, I congratulate you because that is truly a feat.
I'm just now noticing. So I guess there's like a title to each page, huh?
Yeah. So for page 4 of 6 is how you see the wider society.
Yeah. It would have been interesting to name each page when we did the first half, but I didn't even notice those there.
That's okay. They're really, do it going forward.
They're really subtle. Okay. So, so do you want to just jump right into this? Is there anything you want to touch on before we get into the test? Or
no, I think I'm good to go as long as you are.
I've been like working a lot and then it was like my birthday and everything. So I basically have not followed anything happening in the real world. So yeah, I'm good to just jump into this as well.
Perfect. Do you want to start the first page or do you want me to?
I think that on the first time through you were doing the even number pages. So we'll go ahead and have you.
All right, works for me. Our civil liberties are being excessively curbed in the name of counterterrorism.
I strongly agree.
I would agree with that as well.
So that actually touches on something that I had thought about talking about a little. This kind of, yeah, I feel like I'm kind of like strong-arming this into it a little bit, but this question makes me think about the situation in... I'm going to say this wrong. Xinjiang, China? Is that, did I say that?
I'm not familiar with what you're referring to.
The Uyghur genocide, or alleged genocide of the Uyghur population in China?
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Sorry, it took me a second.
So just the thing about this that reminds me of it is the fact that, like, I don't know, I've been kind of like, I've been kind of reading up on it, and I've watched a couple videos that came out recently on it, and, like, the thing that I've noticed is, like, I'm not going to make any big claims here for or against China, like, that doesn't, I don't want to speculate on it, I guess is what I'm trying to say, but, like, even going off of what, like, the most pro-China people and what the Chinese government themselves are saying about it, it seems pretty fucked up to me. Like, even the people that are defending China, when they're like, oh, no, we're just doing this, I'm kind of like, that's bad. Like, if America was doing that, y'all wouldn't be cool with it, because it's just, like, basically, because it's something like this. It's civil liberties being curbed in the name of counterterrorism. They're basically
right.
Just, like, completely trying to assimilate everyone into the greater Chinese culture and kind of mm-hmm. erase their pre-existing culture because people from that culture have been the ones carrying out a lot of terrorism. I'm not going to say all the terrorism because I don't know everything about terrorism in China, but like a large bulk of the terrorism that's happened there over the last two decades has come from that population. But like, there's like a fuck ton of Uyghur people in China, like, and most of them are not terrorists. And right. I don't know. This question just reminded me of that because I was thinking about how like the same people who are defending China doing this stuff, I'm like, if you know damn well, if America was like, well, Muslims have been committing terrorism, so I think we should like make them not part of their own culture and just make them do everything we do. Like, no mm-hmm. one would be okay with that. Like,
well, and so that's a good point that you bring up. What it reminds me when I first read that is after 9/11 yeah. and how you could no longer get on an airplane without having to take your shoes off, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's necessarily, you know, the equivalent of what's going on. That's just the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah.
But what it does make me think about is the earlier conversation that we had a few episodes ago when people invaded the Capitol and how now, you know, they're using all kinds of social media and that kind of stuff to track those people down. And yeah, I don't know. Those are the two things that it makes me think of
yeah.
whenever I read that question.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
A significant advantage of a one-party state is that it avoids all the arguments that delay progress in a democratic political system.
So my take on this one, this is one of those ones where the wording kind of throws me off a bit because mm-hmm. I would have to say that I strongly agree with it based on its wording, but I'm not sure if the question is supposed to be a significant advantage of a one-party state is that it avoids yada, 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 so that's preferable.
No, so that's exactly what I was thinking, too. It's just saying, is this an advantage to this style? It's not saying, does that make that...
Right.
Does this advantage to that style make this a preferable system?
Which, like, and I'm I like, think, how could you possibly disagree with that? Like, that is an advantage of it, but that doesn't mean that it's...
You agree with that advantage.
Yeah, that's the system you'd want to go with. Because, I mean, every system's going to have its advantages, right? Like, I'm sure even... Mm-hmm. fascism has something going for it, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, otherwise no one would follow it. There has to be some sort of advantage. So I don't know, that's a weird one to me because I feel like it's not really a question so much as just a statement.
I agree,
but yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and click strongly agree on it. What are your thoughts on a one-party state, like if there was like a United States Socialist Party and it, like, you know, we got like a guy elected as president and he was like, I'm gonna get rid of the other political parties, like we're gonna get rid of the conservatives because they're a detriment to our society and just everything will be handled by the U.S. Socialist Party. Like, what would you think about that?
Well, I obviously, you know, I'm gonna think that my ideals are what I want to see represented. That's the way that I think the country should be ran. The idea of a one-party state, I don't think necessarily appeals to me. But I'm not saying that a two-party state is a solution either.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, when we talk about a one-party state, my mind just always gets a little overly cautious because you think of, I don't know, my first thing when I think of a one-party state is a fascist. I know that's not what they're intending here.
Yeah.
But obviously, I think you kind of run to a slippery slope when that happens.
I think my big thing, something that isn't really covered by this, I mean, this is one sentence, but like my whole thing is kind of how much... Okay, so like think about the Democratic Party. Think about how different someone like Bernie Sanders is from someone like Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Is the one party like that where you're able, even though there's like a general direction of the party, people still are able to like push in their own ways and everything? Or is it like there's a oh God, I can't think of the word. There's a concept in Leninism called democratic something. But it basically what it is like the party sits down and they have a vote on like whatever the thing is. And whatever passes within the party, everyone in the party now has to stick with that. Like whatever we vote on, like if we say, hey, we all support universal healthcare, which hopefully that one, it wouldn't, everyone would support right. anyway. But like the idea is like, if like everyone sat in a room, there's 10 people, six of them vote, yes, we support universal healthcare, and the other four don't. Well, now we all 10 have to support universal healthcare because we've decided that's the party line, and you have to stick with it now. And even though in that case I would be for it because it's universal healthcare, I don't like the idea that like people aren't allowed to dissent within the party. So it would depend on, my whole thing would be, is the party able to be pulled in different directions, or is it just have a uniform, you know, stance on every policy, I guess is right. the deciding factor for me.
And I'm right there with you. That's kind of the thing that I wanted to get into, or not even get into, just make known as well. When you asked me, my answer to that question is I want to make sure that there's always room for discussion and that it's not always going to be a uniform thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So our next question is, although the electronic age makes official surveillance easier, only wrongdoers need to be worried.
I strongly disagree. I can't imagine anyone on either side of the political line being like, but I've heard people say that, I guess, actually. I don't know. I feel like the same people who say you don't need to worry about the cops if you're not breaking the law are also the same people who, like, don't use the internet hardly because they're worried they're being tracked. So I don't know.
Or it's very, you know, centrist liberals. I hear that kind of thing from them a lot because they're like, oh, you know, as long as you follow the rules, everything is fine.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, they speed 10 miles per an hour over the speed limit and, you know, just that kind of stuff, which is fine. Yeah. I speed too. But it's more of they hold the double standard of, if you don't break the law, then you have nothing to worry about. And I think it's a similar thing here where they think, well, as long as you're not doing anything really bad, that means you're not a bad guy, so you don't need to worry about this.
The ultimate issue with that, I mean, I know you already know this, but just to say it out loud, like, who's deciding who's good and who's bad, though?
Mm-hmm.
That's always going to be the thing for me, is like, the bad guy is more likely to be in power than the good guy from what I've seen of reality so far. It's basic. All right. Yeah. All right.
The death penalty should be an option for the most serious crimes.
I'm interested in hearing your opinion on that first.
This is such a hard decision for me because a guilty pleasure of mine, I really like true crime stuff, although it's something that I don't talk about a lot. And there are so many cases where you hear about people that do just some evil, vile things.
Yeah.
And they end up only getting a slap on the wrist, or they, you know, get 5 to 10 years and that's it. And meanwhile, you know, so here, okay, here's my thing. If you can prove 100% without a doubt that someone is just going to be a terrible, violent nuisance to society and might, you know, kill and rape and that kind of thing, and they've done so already, and there's just absolutely no way, that I would say I would. The problem is the system that we have for finding that out is such a biased system that I just don't know that I can seriously take it into consideration. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, kind of like on the last episode, we had the one about spanking, and I told you that I like recently like changed my opinion on it. This is kind of another one like that. I strongly disagree with this one, but, very, very recently that wouldn't have been my answer. Like I'd say as recently as a year back or so. Uh-huh. I never would have strongly agreed, but I think that I would have at least like, somewhere in the middle agree or disagreed, but now I strongly disagree. And a big part of it, honestly, did have to do with a video I watched. I don't know if you're familiar with the YouTuber Sean. You ever heard of Sean before? Well, he did a video on the death penalty, and it's very, very convincing. He goes over, like, a lot of, his whole style is that he's very, like, unemotional. He treats every argument he decides to take on as if it's a 100% legitimate argument, and, like, he's really thorough. And his death penalty one really, like, kind of got rid of the last few dregs of, like, what would have made me agree with it. But ultimately, the ultimate reason why I disagree with the death penalty is just that I don't think the state should have the power of life and death. Just putting it in a real simple statement. I don't like... Now, if by death penalty, do you mean are there situations where killing a person is a valid option? I.e., like, someone breaks in your house with a gun, can you shoot them? Then absolutely, in that case I would. But for me, death penalty implies that it's a state mandated thing, and I don't think that the state should have that power to kill somebody.
And that's right there where I'm with you. You know, like I said, if you were in a perfect world, even then I would still be hesitant to agree. Yeah. But the way our system works and the amount of people that have ended up on death row that, you know, years later evidence comes forward to show that they were innocent. Yeah. I just can't fully agree with
it. Yeah, I get what you're saying too, though. You're saying basically, like, I mean, if we catch Hitler, can we kill Hitler? And you know, on an emotional level, I want to say, yeah, fuck yeah, we can kill Hitler. But I think given, like, time to think about it and try to decide, like, where it's going to lead from there, I think even then I'd be like, I don't want the state to kill Hitler. I'm fine with us killing Hitler, but I don't want the state to kill Hitler because I'm...
No, I get where you're coming from on that, too.
Yeah, so that's basically where I am on that.
In a civilized society, one must always have people above to be obeyed and people below to be commanded.
Yeah, I strongly disagree with that.
So do I.
Woo, anarchy.
Yeah, no, that's a strongly disagree from me. I think that you can very well in a system have people that are professionals in their areas of expertise that can help give direction. Yeah. That doesn't mean that they necessarily need to be they need to be commanders, so on and so forth. I don't think that's a question that either of us really need to delve too deep into, since we're pretty straightforward on that one.
Well, I will add this in here real quick, just that, like,
yeah, go for
there
it.
there are situations that require some sort of leadership, someone to be technically in command. But I just think that in those situations, that person should be answerable to the people below them. Like, like, say we're on a ship. If you're on a ship in the ocean, you have to have a captain, because if a storm comes along, you don't have time to hold a vote on what you need to do. Someone has to be in control. But at any time, the people on the boat need to be able to say, you suck at being a captain, and make you not the captain anymore and make someone else the captain. That's my thing. That's basically...
I very much agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. Abstract art that doesn't represent anything shouldn't be considered art at all. I have a feeling that we will probably have a similar answer, but I'll let you go first on this one.
So this one, if you'd asked me when I was a teenager, I would have strongly agreed. I used to hate modern art, and I still don't like it, but I wouldn't say it's not art. And an interesting thing about this question for me is that I've learned kind of recently how much this idea actually ties into fascism.
Oh.
It's really interesting, but fascists hate abstract art because, I'm not going to be able to fucking word this right. So anything abstract, not just like paintings or whatever, it could be like music or whatever, but anything that doesn't... anything that makes you think, anything that makes you have abstract thought, fascists hate, because they want you to just, this is what we believe, this is how it is, these are the rules, this is the law, yada, 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 stick to that, and that's it.
it's hard to control an emotional response to abstract art because the point is to not have a concrete response.
Exactly.
To it.
And they hate that. And that's, I thought that was really interesting, but I would disagree with it just off the fact that I think bad art is still art regardless. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's art. That's what it
and
is.
And I've always been of the mindset that art is something that gives you some form of emotional response that someone has created. And I have, you know, I didn't grow up looking at abstract art. It's not something that I know very much about, but I have friends that do it and they will hand me a piece and I think, this is what I'm feeling when I look at that. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's something that's really grown on me as I've gotten older, and especially with music too, where I used to be very much, well, if I'm listening to a piece of music, then it needs to be, you know, a concrete idea. Whereas as I've gotten older, I don't care if it's just beeps and boops and weird stuff, as long as it makes me feel some kind of way.
Yeah, and that part there actually touches a very, like, personal nerve for me, because as someone who makes rap music, you know, you have a lot of people who say rap isn't music.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, a very common thing, and, like, I take that personally, you know what I mean? I'm like...
Right, as you should.
They're like, all the producer's doing is hitting buttons on a computer, and all you're doing is talking, and it's kind of like, yeah, I can do that with all other kinds of music, too. Like, if someone's playing a guitar, I can say all they're doing is plucking strings against a piece of wood. That's not
right.
The point. It's like... and I've called people out on it before, too. I'm like, well, if it's so easy, then you do it. And they'll be like, well, that's not the point. I'm like, how is that not the point? Like, I won't get too much into that, but I have a very personal peeve with that whole thing of, like, this isn't really music. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, our next question is a fun one. In criminal justice, punishment should be more important than rehabilitation. I have a feeling that you were probably like me on this one, because I strongly disagree.
I also strongly disagree. I would almost go so far as to say punishment is irrelevant.
Yes.
Which might be a bit of an extreme stance on it, but, like, that's just how I feel about it. I don't know.
No, I understand where you're coming from. It's a more pragmatic thought process.
I was just going to say, because I read ahead, that might make what I say about this next question interesting. I don't know. I'll be interested to hear what you think about the next one, since you agree with me on that one.
It is a waste of time to try to rehabilitate some criminals. I think it depends on what your goal for rehabilitation is, because I think that... if you're always going to try, if your end goal for rehabilitation for every single criminal is for them to enter back into society to be a perfect citizen, then I would say yes. However, if your rehabilitation is attempting to make it to where someone isn't a possible violence to society, then I think you should always try to rehabilitate everyone.
Yeah. And I think that, I might be just kind of rewording what you're saying here, honestly, but, my view on this is that, yes, I would agree that sometimes it's a waste of time, but it's also, I guess my thing is, how do you define waste of time? Because there's going to be people that you can't rehabilitate at all. They'll always be a danger to society. But I don't think I would necessarily call it a waste of time to try. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though you don't succeed, it was worth trying to do regardless. And, there will probably be people that we, you know, I believe in prison abolition, so it's kind of weird. But, like, I think that there's probably going to have to be, like, we'll probably need, like, one prison in the perfect society somewhere where there's, like, just the few people who just can't be, that just have to be quarantined from everyone else for whatever reason that we're just not able to reach. But I think that the massive bulk of people do, whether you want to call it evil things or crime or whatever, they do those things for reasons, things that can be worked out, things that can be fixed. I don't think most people are just monsters, but there's probably a few that you're probably going to come across, people like Jeffrey Dahmer and stuff like that, that just are just fucked up. There's just something broken that can't be fixed there.
It's funny that you bring Dahmer up because he's one who more than I think of like him and Ed Kemper, where they are people who they did very evil things, but their mindset behind it is very strange because they themselves I don't want to say regret, because I don't think they necessarily regret it, but they realize they didn't enjoy a lot of the actual killing aspect, and it was more of a weird compulsory thing for both of them. But then I think you look at other people like Bundy, and there's a guy, I can't remember his name, but he's referred to as the toy box killer.
Yeah, and you probably know way more about it. I just used like the first serial killer name that came to mind, but
no, I got you.
Yeah,
I'm glad you brought that up though, because it's the kind of thing where when I listen to a lot of these cases, there are plenty of these people who ended up doing the things that they were doing because society has failed them, and that's not to say that it's okay, and because there's obviously lots of people that fail that society has failed.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of thing where if they had gotten help early on, then it might not have happened. But to agree with you, there are some of the cases that you listen to where these people are just evil. Like, just no way around it. They're genuinely hateful people that just want to be as evil as possible.
And sometimes I think it's possible for a person to... I don't know if I think evil is ever just like this innate thing, but I guess it could be possible a person could have a certain mixture of like mental illnesses or something that just don't operate together in a way. You know what I'm saying? Where a person has just got a chemical reason that they're like that maybe. But I think even in the case of a lot of the people who aren't able to be fixed, I think fixing society would prevent a lot of those people, because I think a lot of them have been broken beyond repair. It's not that they were born that way, but they've been, you know, you have people like, when you think of someone like, and I don't want to humanize this guy too much, but just as an example, because he comes to mind, but like, you have someone like Dylann Roof, who's like this like insane white supremacist murderer. You know, I would contest that growing up in a society that doesn't have a lot of the features that ours does probably would have prevented that kid from becoming who he became. And I don't think it's someone that we can fix. I don't think you can fix someone who's that far gone, but it was outside circumstance, I believe, that turned him into that, if that makes sense.
Right. So no, it's a classic debate of nurture versus nature. And it is a very interesting, I don't want to say argument because I don't think it's an argument, but a kind of, what does make someone quote unquote evil? You know, are they born that way? Is it because of their surroundings that they grow up into? Because a lot of these people that we look at, you know, like another great example that comes to my mind is Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. He grew up in a terrible, horrible family life. He had just abysmal influences in his life, but so did all of his siblings, and yet he is the only one who turned out like that.
I was just gonna say
it makes you kind of question how much input does nature versus nurture have.
And that's like are you familiar with Behind the Bastards at all?
I am not.
So it's a podcast that's basically Robert Evans hosted. He's like a lefty anarchist guy. And it's basically just like it's like he just talks about like the worst people in history. Basically, he'll have on a guest, but they're mainly there to just like listen to the story and like interact. But the one I listened to yesterday involved Pol Pot. He was going to do a Pol Pot episode, but Pol Pot wasn't very interesting, so he ended up doing one about like the king that enabled Pol Pot, essentially.
Oh.
But one point that came up in it was that like Pol Pot was he was like molested as a teenager by like grown women. Like grown women were using him sexually when he was like 15. And that also apparently, I didn't know this either, but they brought up when they were talking about that, that also happened to like Charles Manson. And like, you know, I'm not saying that like, you know, your teacher like does something to you, you become a fucking serial killer. I mean, I think that's happened to plenty of people who didn't turn out to be Pol Pot. But like, you know, it is something that like several evil people in history have in common. And I think that the fact that it's, you know, women doing it to a boy, because it's like they have like no societal way to like deal with that, because they can't like go ask for help. They can't like, they can't even complain about it. You know what I mean? Like even complaining about it will just like get them like made fun of, essentially. And like, I think that that probably did something to their psyche, whether or not it does the same thing to everyone. That is probably just like a environmental factor that just kind of like, you know, fucked them up in some way.
Well, and that's a big thing as well that you'll see in a lot of these cases, is that there's a lot of reoccurring themes, but just because they're a reoccurring theme in someone, or just because someone has, you know, one or two of these reoccurring themes, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to turn into one of these people.
Right.
You know, like a big one is head trauma. I don't know if you knew that, but...
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard like references to that and stuff.
And then also having an... I don't want to say overly aggressive mother, but just having a bad relationship with your mother can really mess someone up.
Funny enough, the king that the episode was about, who was a maniac, by the way, like this guy was evil as fuck, had a horrible relationship with his mother. His mother treated him like shit. Like she called him Tubby his whole life, and they like they showed pictures of him, and he wasn't even fat. Like. Like,
oh no,
he's not fat at all, and she just always called him Tubby and like gave him like this like what's the word I'm looking for here, not condition, but he's obsessed with it. He's basically obsessed with his weight. So whenever like life got hard or something, he would just like fuck off to France and go to like fat camp, essentially, like,
oh no,
like some diet thing. And like, I don't know, it's just, it's weird. Like, I mean, in a way, it's like, it's almost something that just sounds like funny to me. Like, cause like I'm fat and people have called me fat and I've never like executed 10,000 people. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like,
well, but at the same time, thing.
It's, yeah, it's just, sorry. Yeah, it's just one of those things where like, I mean, it, you know, this stuff adds up and just fucks up your brain. And like, you know, that person might also already be fucked up in some other way. Plus there's the conditions of like, him having power. Like, I'm not in a position to execute 10,000 people either. You know what I mean?
But if you were, no, I'm kidding.
Who are the 10,000 people though?
That's a good question. All right. So I know enough on this question. We had our nice.
Yeah. We got
ramble there.
Yeah.
Okay. The business person and the manufacturer are more important than the writer and artist.
I will. I think I strongly I know I disagree for sure.
I strongly disagree.
Yeah. The manufacturer part is the only part that kind of gave me pause. Cause is a manufacturer, is that like the worker?
No, I would consider that a labor.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's not talking about laborers, then I absolutely strongly disagree. If manufacturer meant labor, I would still like, softest agree to strongly disagree, because I don't think they're more important, but they're probably like equally important to the writer and the artist. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Those are all laborers in my mind, but yeah.
I agree. Okay. Mothers may have careers, but their first duty is to be homemakers. What an interesting follow-up to the conversation we just had. And in that, I strongly disagree.
I strongly disagree as well, but it's mainly... it's mainly the absolute focus on mothers. I think that, I mean, if you have kids, I don't know if it's like your first duty, but I mean, it's absolutely like one of them. Like it should be a priority for mothers and fathers to like,
right.
You know, take care of their home and their children and everything. And I think a career would come second, but it's the fact that it says mothers specifically, like,
right.
Like, you get what I'm saying. Yeah.
Because if it said something about parents may have careers, but their first duty is to be homemakers, then I would be more inclined to agree.
Yeah, I'd give that probably a soft agree, I think.
Yeah, but the fact that it specifies mothers just makes it misogynistic, yeah. I think. Anyway, multinational companies are unethically exploiting the plant genetic resources of developing countries.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what plant genetic resources means, and I still strongly agree with this.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure that's true.
let me Google this real quick, and I can give us a solid definition for all of you listeners like us at home.
Like, the first thing that came to my mind was, like, spices that come from plants, but I'm sure that's not what it means.
So, plant genetic resources are plant genetic materials of actual or potential value. They describe the variability of within plants that comes from human and natural selection over millennia. Their intrinsic value. So, it is an actual agricultural crop.
It is like spices or like coffee and soy and things like that,
correct.
Right? Yeah, then I definitely strongly agree. Absolutely strongly agree.
Making peace with the establishment is an important aspect of maturity.
That's an interesting one, because my gut reaction is to strongly disagree. But, like, this is one of those ones where the phrasing is kind of stopping me. Because, like, what do they mean by making peace with? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, at some point you do have to accept the world is what it is. Like, but not in a way of being, like, of giving up changing it. You know what I mean?
So when I hear making peace, I interpret it as the latter of what you said. I soft disagreed. I didn't strongly disagree, but in my mind, and I, again, the phrasing on some of these questions is hard to hammer out. But for me, when I hear that phrase, I think of making peace is an important aspect of maturity. It is basically saying, letting your passion to fight the good fight fade away and just accept that, you know, society is going to be what society is going to be.
In that case, if that's how we're going to read it, I think I'm going to go with the strongly disagree, because, yeah, I think that that's actually, I disagree.
Perfect. All right, your turn. Wow, you only get like 5 questions here. Look at you.
Is this a short one? Okay, yeah. So if you got this page's title is "If you got through that, okay, you'll find these propositions on religion a breeze." I'm sure that questions involving spirituality and shit like that, we won't have anything to say about.
Oh my god, this is gonna be rough. Okay, right.
So
go ahead.
Astrology accurately explains many things.
Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay. So, here is my... Anyone who's ever had this conversation with me probably knows where I'm going to go with this. I do believe that there can be some fun aspects of astrology. And I even see some of my friends that have the same sign act similar and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, the way that this question is worded and that it accurately explains many things, I don't necessarily agree with. I'm not someone who, you know, shits on astrology and say that it's completely fake and so on and so forth. Because, you know, I think there could be some merit to some stuff involved with it. What do I know? But the way that it's worded, I'm going to go with the disagree personally.
Okay. My thing is, my starting position on astrology is that it's absolute bullshit. I actually am one of those people. It's like, oh, come on, dude, that's nonsense. But I have heard one argument for it that I was like, okay, I'll give you that. So I think that I'm in kind of the same range as you. That argument is that taking it from like a seasonal perspective instead of like the alignment of the stars, like being born in the winter might give you a different personality than being born in the spring.
100%. Yeah. And that's why I give it a little bit more merit.
Yeah. And so on that, I'm like, yeah, I'll go with a weak disagree as well, because that's a completely valid argument that like the timing of your birth definitely can have an effect on you, I think. So,
mm-hmm. So I was still in question reading mode. I will let you continue. My apologies.
You cannot be moral without being religious.
Oh, that's funny.
So I think that it's kind of obvious. I'm going to go ahead and assume that you strongly disagree with that as well.
No, I strongly agree with that.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
No, I know. But so I do want to throw in here just because so that there's something interesting to say about that one, because that one's kind of nonsense. But like I often hear the argument that because you can be moral without being religious, that morality doesn't come from religion at all. Have you heard this?
I have not.
So I've heard people say that, and I just wanted to point out that I think that that is like just as much a nonsense argument as this one is. Like, a person's morality can absolutely come from their religion. I think it's
right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, that's not really even, there's not even a whole lot more to say about that. Okay. Charity is better than Social Security as a means of helping the genuinely disadvantaged.
Well, let me just point out before we answer this question that trickle-down economics has always worked 100% of the time.
Oh my God.
For those who don't know, I am joking, by the way.
Yeah, so I strongly disagree with that one.
Same. So a little bit of background. I'm assuming a lot of people probably already know this. But for those who don't, the reason why a lot of rich folks got tax breaks in the 1900s was because they donated a lot of money to charity. And so it's something that our government basically relied on the rich people to help fund the disadvantaged. However, over the course of the next century or two, that trend faded away. And so what ended up happening is you had people that were making significantly more money and they were deciding to sit on it rather than doing anything with it. And even then, obviously, I don't think that it's good that the rich should be that rich in the first place. But that's where the thought process for this kind of argument comes from.
Yeah, and my thing is just that, like, I mean, Social Security basically means we're, like, taxing people and putting it towards things that need to be solved. Basically, what you're doing with charity, especially since it, like you said, offers a tax break, is choosing where to allocate yourself, which, to be fair, I think we should have more say in where our taxes go, but I think it should be a collective decision, not a... Mm-hmm. Not an individual one, especially since like a lot of charities have been, you know, we've found out that a lot of charities are like not really putting money towards what you think they're putting it towards. And they're, you know, all the issues with that. So, yeah. The next question is, some people are naturally unlucky. And before we answer that, I just want to say that, like, I'm very confused how your opinion on this has any effect on where you fall in the political compass.
Yeah, I agree.
But I guess I'll answer that one. I strongly disagree with that. I don't think that, some people have bad breaks. I don't think there's anything natural about it. Like, I don't think it's inherent. And like a lot of times it's explained by like the circumstances of your birth, which I guess you could call unlucky, but like you know what I mean, it's just this words that like it's some sort of like unearthly thing, like you're just destined to have shitty things happen to you, and I don't think that that's how it works. So
I think more than anything it's a societal thing, depending on what social class you're born into really helps dictate what your quote-unquote luck is.
Yeah,
because if you are born in a higher class of society, then you have so many more resources to be able to handle problems, and it makes things significantly easier for you. If you're not, then one bad thing can just avalanche into multiple bad things. And that it's the classic thing of it's actually more expensive to be poor than it is to be rich.
Yeah. And like, I would say that even when, cause it's not, you know, there's been people in history who were born into wealth and then just had a bunch of bad shit happen to them. But even in those cases, I don't think it's some power of fate. It's just the circumstance. Right. You know, sometimes shitty shit happens, and like
shitty shit does happen.
It's the word naturally in that case that's throwing it off for me. I'm just like, eh, it's just shitty shit happening. Like, it's not anything where the universe has been misaligned against you or whatever. So
born under a bad sign.
Yeah. It is important that my child's school instills religious values.
I, of course, strongly disagree with this one myself.
I also strongly disagree with that one. I got the easy page. That page was...
Yeah, so look at you. Okay. So, this one is, finally, a look at sex.
Hell wow. Yeah.
This will be an interesting one. This is page 6. So, sex outside... So I think it's supposed to say sex outside of marriage, but it says sex outside marriage is usually immoral.
Only if you're doing it right.
I obviously strongly disagree with that.
I also strongly disagree with it.
No, for anyone listening, I am clearly a virgin since I've never been married.
What does it mean to not be a virgin? I've heard people talk about this thing. You said it a while ago. Sex? What is that?
Yeah, I'm not familiar. A same-sex couple in a stable, loving relationship should not be excluded from the possibility of child adoption.
I believe I strongly agree. That's one of those ones I'm trying to read whether it's positive or negative.
It's positive.
Yeah, I strongly agree with that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very silly the hoops that people try to make it go through for a gay couple to adopt a child. Incredibly stupid.
I don't All even right. know how you like justify it, honestly. It's just like I don't know.
Homophobia, just plain and simple.
Yeah, because, but I mean, like, they come up with explanations though, and like I can't even, like, people will take their homophobia and like try to like justify it afterwards with like some kind of...
It's religious, like, and it's not always the case, but a large portion of the time, whenever I hear, or not even when I hear, you know, again, I grew up in a very religious setting, and the biggest thing that I heard against any kind of gay rights was based around religion. And so they get so warped up in this idea that being gay is a sin of some sort, that they think anything at all that alludes to that being okay is bad.
Yeah, I've definitely seen stuff like that, but I think I know one I've seen, because like some people, like what I mean is that some people will still try to come up with like an argument to justify it to people who like don't already agree with that, if that makes sense. And I think one that I see sometimes is they'll say that like the only way for a person to be raised properly is if they have a parent of each sex.
Or, oh yeah, yeah.
Of the two saying, of the two binary sexes, rather. So yeah, I guess I have actually heard a justification for it. It's just absolute nonsense. Is all
very, very silly stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Pornography depicting consenting adults should be legal for the adult population.
Yeah, I think I strongly agree with that. There's probably some stuff we could get into on that one, but I'm not real well versed in. So yeah, I'm pretty sure I agree fully with that.
Same. What goes on in a private bedroom between consenting adults is no business of the state.
Strongly agree.
Same here. No one can feel naturally homosexual. I will strongly disagree with that.
I don't even know. I'm going to strongly disagree just because I don't know shit about it. But like, I will say this. I've always thought that the argument about whether or not you're born gay is actually just kind of silly and nonsense, because I don't think it has any bearing on whether gay people should have rights or not, which is what it always comes about from, is people like argue about whether you're born that way or not as like a justification to take rights away. And I'm like, who cares? Even if it is a choice, does that change anything? Like,
right. I think it's a, go ahead.
That's kind of the whole idea. I'm just like, I'm saying strongly disagree because I'm not gay. And so I don't know, but like, I don't know. I just always thought that was just a silly argument because a person choosing to be something doesn't change the fact they should have rights. You know what I mean?
Right. 100%.
So
these days, openness about sex has gone too far.
What do they mean by that? No.
See, I don't know. That's it's a weird question because if they're talking about people like adults talking to each other or that kind of thing, then I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. So I guess my thing is like, some people, like if we're talking about like on an individual basis, I would say there are some people that are a little too open. Like it can be uncomfortable sometimes if people like talk about their sex life too much in the wrong company. Like, you know what I mean? You ever had somebody who like got way too detailed when you first met them and you're just like, okay, bro, like chill out. But
let's calm down there. I didn't need to know that.
The other end of it is like, if it means media, I do like, you know, I will agree. I think maybe this is like a little bit strangely conservative for me, but I don't necessarily think it is. But like, there's a certain level of like sexual innuendos and things like that that like shouldn't be in like a kid's show. You know what I mean? Children's TV shouldn't have like really open discussions of sex or anything. So like, because I know that sometimes that's what gets brought up is like there's too much sexualization in like children's media. Which, right. Like, I'm sure there's, like, an extent to that that, like, I'm not cool with. I don't know if I've ever actually seen anything that was just like, oh, my God, that shouldn't be in a child show. Like, because usually when people are complaining about that, it's just, like, the fact that, like, two girls liked each other in the show or something. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, I don't know.
I personally am going to soft disagree on this.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But again, it's one of those questions where depending on how you word it really, or how you interpret how it's read can really change my answer on it.
Yeah. Okay. So can you do a drum roll? Do you know how to do a drum roll sound? that's an engine.
Well, I don't have my sticks with me, so I mean, I could actually.
We need one of those. We need like a soundboard. I want a soundboard of, you know, like air horns and shit, but I want one of the buttons to just be Slavoj Žižek asking Jordan Peterson, where are the Marxists?
That's beautiful.
All right, let's see. What? This has to be from how I answered it when I was starting it up.
Did you go all the way down to the bottom?
No, I didn't. Okay, so I thought the first picture is where I am.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first, too. And I was like, authoritarian left.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm about where I thought I'd be. I'm like, the first time I took this, I don't know how much my answers have changed since then, but the first time I took this, I was literally, like, in the lower left corner, like the corner of the corner.
Nice.
But this time I'm a little bit off from that. I'm like, two lines over to the right and three lines up, but I'm still in the bottom corner.
I think I am three lines over to the right and four lines up. So I'm still like, I'm not quite directly in the corner, but
yeah, and I'm
pretty close in that direction.
And it sounds like I'm just like one notch closer to it than you are. So that's kind of what I figured. This is why I said that like, the end result's not going to matter a whole lot because this is kind of where everyone ends up that takes this that isn't like a literal Nazi. Like, seriously, it's just like, which like, I mean, if you look at this thing, like go back up to this like middle image, the one that has like famous people positioned on it, and like look how close to the center Hitler is.
Yeah, that's wild.
I think their justification for this, in fact, I know it's their justification for this now that I'm looking closer, because if you look at the left-right axis, it says communism, And then in parentheses, it says collectivism. So they are treating communism and collectivism as if they're interchangeable terms. And Hitler was a collectivist in many ways. He wasn't a communist in any fucking way, but he was a collectivist in some ways. So that's probably why they got him right there.
It's funny to see Thatcher more to the right than Hitler.
Ha! Yeah. Which, it's probably true, actually.
Got her!
God. And look, like, so they have fascism as the center authoritarian one, and then anarchism as the center libertarian one. So they're treating fascism as a synonym for authoritarian, which is interesting to me. I mean, I can see the association, but that doesn't seem wholly accurate. It seems like a very basic understanding of what either of those things means to me.
Right, and they just think that they're interchangeable.
Yeah, and that's interesting to me. That, like, I don't know. So, now, we won't do it, like, immediately, because we've already given two episodes to this test. But there is a better test that's been recommended to me that seems to have a much better understanding of politics and everything. And maybe we can try and knock that one out, you know, either all at once or in a couple nights back to back. That way we don't have to, like, go through the whole re-answering questions thing. Because I'd be interested to see where we actually fall on that one.
Yeah, no, I think that would be a good idea to revisit in a few months.
Yeah.
You know, as we slowly become more radicalized. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, I can get more radicalized?
Yes, you just have to eat lots of bread, only wear red and carry a hammer and sickle around with you and you'll be fine.
I have to believe in really radical, insane ideas, like people should be able to have health care.
Or hear me out. I know this one is a wild one, but our Earth might be more important than corporations.
Oh, come on, dude. You're talking crazy now. What are you?
I don't know.
What are you, an Antifa wild fascist?
Well, was there anything else that you wanted to go over for our episode?
I don't know. I feel like we could, I don't know. Like I said, I've been kind of, like, missing everything that's happening in the world for the last couple weeks because I've either been working or drinking. So I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know if.
Normally I have a good idea, but I've kind of been in a similar situation where last week was my last week at work and we were severely understaffed and they changed all my schedule around. So I was doing a bunch of opening shifts and not sleeping much. And so I'm kind of in the same boat, but normally I would have more things to go over.
Right on. Well, I guess that's that then. This will probably be one of our shortest episodes, but that'll make up for the fact that last week we had an entire movie about Jujutsu Kaisen. So
worth it.
Yeah, you want to go ahead and plug your stuff before we head out?
Sure. So if you want to get some more of my entertainment, I stream right now 3, maybe 4 times, coming up soon, at Twitch, and my stream name is Ethereal Trickster. So come by, say hi.
Yeah, and you can check me out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, both under Ishida. That's ISH1DA, Ishwanda, if that's easier for you to remember.
Ishwanda forever. Continue.
And you guys can, like, add me on PSN. My PSN is Ishwan Automatic. And follow me on Twitter and follow us on Twitter at Left Ramen Pod and all that good stuff. Give us 5 stars on all your little podcast streaming services and listen to any episodes you haven't listened to yet. And then give those 5 stars as well. Hell yeah.
Thanks, folks.
Bye.